I don't know about you, but I got some folks that I know who just do some crazy stuff. But you know, God loves them just the same. And if you will learn how to intercede properly for people who are outside your immediate family, God will do some things on their behalf because of your prayers, even though they're acting crazy. Are you with me? Now, many times the natural response is you got some knucklehead in your family and they're going to do something stupid like that. You write them off. Well, forget you, man. In fact, don't even come over my house no more. You know what I mean? Take you out of my speed dial and all that other good stuff. What we need to do is stand in the gap and pray for these people, because we know where they're headed if they don't change some things and make some adjustments. Are you with me? And so there's that element of praying for others that we need to major in. Now, let me show you another example. Turn with me. You're in Genesis. Go to the next book. Go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. I love this one. This one's classic. This one is classic. It's funny when you read it, in spite of the seriousness of the situation. Exodus chapter 32. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 32. Now, this is the instance when Moses is on Mount Sinai in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Children of Israel get a little restless, decide, you know, we don't know what happened to Moses, but Aaron, man, we need some leadership. We need some gods just like we used to have in Egypt. And so he took gold and jewelry from all these people and made a molten calf. And they were worshiping this calf. And notice verse 7. Listen to the words here. Watch this. Exodus 32, 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get ye down. Notice this. For your people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, and have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against your people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Have you ever had a child mess up? You know, you married couples, you had ever a child mess up and you come home and mama's waiting for you and she says, you want to know what your son did? All of a sudden, it's your son now. Well, same thing happened here. God says to Moses, you better go check your people out. Your people that you brought out of Egypt, they done gone crazy. And Moses turns around and says, wait a minute. Why are you going to get mad at your people? See what I mean? You catch that? Your people, which you delivered by a mighty hand. Notice the rest of this. Verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Now, notice this. This is Moses talking to God. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom you swear by your own self, and said to them, I'll multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Notice verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil that he thought to do unto his people. Now, that simply means that God changed his mind. That's what the word repent means. It means change. God changed his mind because Moses interceded for Israel. Can you see that? Now, it never was God's plan to destroy them, but because of their present actions, judgment was coming. But Moses was able to avert judgment through his prayers. Now, here's the thing I want you to see. Remember I talked about the fact that we need to get beyond our own self and our own needs? Notice what God said to Moses. Let me wax my wrath against them, and I'll start all over with you. Now, how many men do you know that would have said, ooh, yeah, I like that. Start with me? Oh, yeah, I'm the man anyway. Let's go. Are you with me? Selfish. We need to get beyond selfishness in our prayers. Moses was concerned about those people in spite of their crazy actions. Are you with me? In spite of the fact they were doing wrong, he still prayed for them, interceded for them, stood before God and pleaded their case for them. Now, the interesting thing is, when Moses went back down from the mountains, he was so upset. He had the tables of stone that he threw them down and broke them. Because the people had made a molten calf, and they were all naked, you know, worshiping this golden calf. I mean, this was bizarre. And Moses finds his brother Aaron and said, "Man, what are you, crazy? What are you doing?" Notice what Aaron said. "Well, hey, Moses, man, the people, that's what they wanted. And so we took all this gold and melted it down, man, and out came a golden calf." Well, that golden calf didn't just come out. Aaron actually fashioned this thing and made it. But everybody always shifts the blame. What's my point in telling you this story? It doesn't matter who the blame goes to. We can stand in the gap and pray for people, and God will change things. Are you with me? In spite of their crazy actions. Now, the reason I'm spending a little time here and emphasizing this is many times we face situations where we've got people that we care about who are so far out there and so far gone and acting so crazy. Your mind will tell you, man, you may as well forget them. There's no hope. I got news for you. There's always hope. There's always hope. There's always redemption. But are we willing to get in there, stand in the gap, get before God, and pray for others and not quit? Are you with me? Not quit, not give up. I don't care if they do get worse. I'm going to stay in there and pray for them because I expect to see a change. Are y'all seeing something here? Now, turn with me in your Bibles. Let's look at one other passage. We'll close with this one, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We need to get beyond our own needs and our own families. Granted, your faith will work for you. You can change things in your own house. Amen? But we need to graduate from our own stuff, start praying for other folk. Don't be like the farmer who prayed, "Oh Lord, bless me and my wife, my son and my daughter, us four and no more." We need to get beyond that. I was privileged many years ago to hear the ambassador to the United Nations from Swaziland. And he had come to the Bible school and shared with us about how we could change things if we would pray. And if there's ever a time when we need to pray for nations, it's now. Now, here's something else I'll tell you. You may not agree with the current leadership in your nation, your state, or your city, but you still have an obligation to pray. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "I would first of all that prayers and intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a peaceable, quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Pray for leadership. The leadership at that time was very wicked, very brutal, very oppressive. But yet Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wrote to Timothy and said, first of all, pray. First of all, pray. Put first things first. First of all, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Now, what does it mean, intercession? The word intercede is just what we've seen in these last two examples. Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses interceded for Israel. To intercede means to confer or to intervene for somebody else. And the Bible identifies Jesus as our intercessor in Hebrews chapter 7. He makes intercession for the saints. He confers with God and intervenes on our behalf. So we in turn need to learn how to pray and intercede for others. Paul said, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Well, we don't have kings in the United States. We've got some people who think they are, but they're not. Are you with me? But even though you don't agree with them, you still have a responsibility to pray for them. I had a brother come to me years ago. "Wow, that George Bush, I just can't believe he's doing all these things, setting our people back." I thought, well, you may not agree with him, but you have a responsibility to pray for him, don't you? He looked at me. He said, "You know, you're right." See, it's easy to complain when things don't go right, whether you're Democrat or Republican. I don't preach politics, by the way. I don't do that. I've had Well, I won't get off on that. Anyway, when I was a little kid, grew up in the country, you know, I remember when I turned 18, first time I voted. And I know that our ancestors paid a terrible price just for the right to vote. I was going to vote. And I went down to the little store, you know, I live way out in the country. And there's my best friend's daddy standing outside with a big blue sign. He said, "Hey, Bill, vote for so-and-so. He's all right." I didn't know who these people were, didn't know what they stood for. I went and voted for the other guy just because he said it. Now, that doesn't mean that's the way you're supposed to cast your vote. Make your vote based on principle. Are you with me? And pray about things before you go into that ballot, but you need to vote. I had a preacher here in Erie, Election Day. I said, "Hey, so-and-so, did you vote?" "No, we don't do that." I said, "What? We don't vote." "What do you mean you don't vote?" "Well, the Bible says." I said, "The Bible says what? It doesn't say don't vote." He said, "What says come out from among them and be ye separate?" I said, "That doesn't mean don't vote." He got mad at me. You know, you don't know who he is, so don't try to figure it out. Amen. I said, "That don't mean don't vote. Come on. You know, you don't let somebody else decide your future. Have a voice." But anyway, when it comes to things like that, you may not agree with leadership. Doesn't matter who it is. Pray for them. Are you with me? Pray for them that God would give them wisdom to lead and guide effectively, and that his will would be done on the earth as he desires in heaven. Just because a knucklehead's in office doesn't mean you can't pray for him. Are you with me? I don't care if it's the mayor, the city councilman, or whoever. You know? I mean, there's some politicians who do some crazy stuff. I won't go there. All right. Watch this. We're in Isaiah chapter 43. Let's look at verse 25 and verse 26. We'll close with this. Amen? This is what God says through Isaiah. "I, even I," Isaiah 43, 25, "am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." Now, "put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be justified." Now, that is in essence what Moses did when he interceded for Israel. He put God in remembrance of his promise. "Remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," or Israel. "Remember what you promised them, that their seed would be as the stars of heaven. Remember your word before you judge Israel." And God changed his mind. We can do the same thing by putting God in remembrance of his word when we're praying for others. You've got a relative in your family and they're acting all crazy. You can go before God and say, "God, you know, the Bible says the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You need to intervene on their behalf. I know they're acting crazy, but the Bible says, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread." You can put God in remembrance of his word and watch things change. Are you with me? You can do the same thing for nations. I mentioned earlier, I heard the ambassador to the United Nations from Swaziland say this: if Christians would learn to pray, you could change events in the earth. He said, what you see in the news, turmoil, strife in certain nations, is really only about 10% of the problem. He said 90% of the problem is spiritual, forces of darkness, etc. There are nations on the earth where people are so repressed that they can't buy food, that they don't have a place to live, that they don't have a place to work. Think of nations like Zimbabwe. You know, there again, not to get into politics, but Zimbabwe has some of the sweetest people on the earth, but yet they're oppressed by one of the most oppressive rulers in history, Robert Mugabe. The guy's an egomaniac. Kills the opposition. You know, took farms away from farmers to redistribute the land. And the bottom line is the people are starving to death because this guy can't lead. but yet he wants to stay in power so he can keep all his stuff. Are you with me? We can change things when we pray. But if we won't do it, who will? And in the same manner, as God said through Ezekiel, I sought for a man among them that should stand in the gap and make up the hedge. There are times God is looking for somebody to pray, and he might tap you on the shoulder. Are you with me? And you may not understand why you have a burden or a leading to pray for somebody. Just take that as a leading from the Holy Spirit to pray. Are you with me? We'll continue on this next week. Share some more insight. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, y'all excited? Hallelujah. God is good.